You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
Hey, El Paso, this is Michelle Smallman, and now it's your turn to sound off on the UTEP game. Minor Talk with Adrian and Sal is coming up next on 600 ESPN El Paso.
I walk through the valley of the shadow. Yeah, my life, there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never caught. Didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know.
I can tell you this, guys. The phone lines for Minor Talk in El Paso after this game are going to be lit up for a good reason. It hasn't been many of those here lately.
And that's how we start the show here on the program. Minor Talk is live, along with Sal Montes, the co-host of Minor Talk, since day one here on Minor Talk, along with Alberto Retta. He's been over year one here with Minor Talk. And then George Guajardo, he's done more than one of these shows. So that's our squad here on the program today. The Miners did what I thought they would do, and that's win in the first round of the Conference USA Tournament. No one told me about the Ahmad Bynum situation. That's where we start today's show. Ahmad Bynum dismissed from the team, did not make the trip with the squad to the Conference USA Tournament in Huntsville, Alabama. I'll say this. I mean, I've been pretty plugged into a lot of UTEP news lately, and if you've run into me, I'm not afraid to tell you what that news is. But I've found a lot of things out about this squad over the last couple weeks, and they kept this one about as tight-lipped as possible over the weekend. And I like that. That's a reflection of this team, man. I mean, if something's going on in your locker room, you handle it in your locker room. You nip it in your locker room. And then outside the locker room, you go out there with confidence and you go out there and try to win games and play basketball and do what you're supposed to do in this sport of college basketball. And that's the reality the UTEP's looking at right now. They played with joy. They played with excitement. They played like they didn't lose the last seven games coming into this first round. And yes, it is against a losing record team in Sam Houston State. It is against a team who today shot 2-for-19 from the perimeter. But the Miners needed anything. I mean, they could have beat Northern New Mexico. Yeah. They could have beat the University of Oklahoma Science and Arts. Like, it didn't matter. They just needed confidence. And I like the mantra, don't let us win one. Don't let us win one. And that's the mantra. That's the motto for this squad going into the CUSA tournament. Sal, I'll open it up with you by simply asking, is it fair that we bet a Minor Talk tattoo without knowing that Ahmad Bynum would no longer be with this squad and there'd be a little extra juice to them this tournament?
Oh, man, if we take a time machine and go back to that point, we might feel better about that bet. But, hey, it was fresh energy. It was like a rejuvenated team out there, so to speak. They played really solid. What I like, too, is just kind of watching them, you know, various possessions, whether they're on offense or defense. Guys are on the right spot. They're in the right place, and the ball just happens to bounce their way, tonight as well, and they took advantage of it. So I want to add to that tattoo. Tattoo point, Adrian, I think we had mentioned that with each win that goes, the tattoo doubles in size or something like that.
Oh, we did. And I was the one who even came up with that idea. Who's the genius who thought this out? You know, I was thinking there's no chance. No way. I hope they posted this like billboard type of material. And maybe that's why we got the shout out today on the ESPN Plus broadcast. But Alberto, George, you two are next to me. And I'm the one freaking out. No one heard the Minor Talk mention. After you heard it, what was your initial reaction?
We were all in complete disbelief. We couldn't believe it. Hands up to our ears. We were like, oh, my God. So we all had to bring out our phones and check it on ESPN Plus to make sure it was true.
Yeah, and it was. I was very appreciative of Matt Warner. He was the one who shouted us out. Paul Yeah, he was also on the broadcast as well. Shout out to ESPN Plus for giving us a little plug here on the program today. But George, Miners deserved it. It was a complete team effort. I mean, what can you say? They looked way more confident. They were playing with joy.
Way more confident, Adrian, to your point. Playing with joy, playing together, playing cohesive, playing decisively. Kevin Kalu, a double-double, 15-15 double-double. Who is this? Nikola Jokic? You know who I'm looking
Shaq?
At?
Shaq? Is that Shaq?
Right? I mean, playing with poise. Steve Escajeda, our boy Steve Escajeda, had a great stat over the last two losses between Sam Houston and La Tech. 10-26 assisted turnover numbers, right? This game was 16-9, almost 2-1 way. Right, way more indicative of the team that we've seen before the seven-game slide, right? So, I mean, yeah, just played with way more flow offensively, and they were almost able to drop 80.
Yeah, and I'd say this. Like, I know who the opponent is. For all the people out there who are going to say, don't get too excited, yeah, I'm not. This is what I kind of thought about, you know? And shout out to Ruben, who was there today at the District West as well, and Tristan Pence, who was there, you know, with his family as well. Big shout out to those two. But Ruben says, okay, I'll admit it, or I'll say it. Congratulations to UTEP basketball on the win. Hashtag that's all. And you know what? It's not a game where you can get too excited. If you're UTEP, you turn around and you've got Liberty on deck tomorrow. And that Liberty squad, they've got Conference USA title aspirations to them right now as it stands. So for UTEP right here, you get excited for the next hour. And then for the rest of this evening, you're going back and watching film. And you're going in and doing a deep dive on Liberty. And you're preparing for the Flames for tomorrow because it's a quick turnaround. It's a 4:30 tip-off tomorrow. And local time here, by the way, in El Paso, it's a 4:30 tip-off. We'll be back at the District West, 3233 North Mesa. Great atmosphere, great crowd, by the way. Big shout-out to everybody who joined us. But, Zay, we got the shout-out. We made it. We made it, Zay.
Yeah, and, you know, I was watching the broadcast. I had one ear in, one ear out. Like, I had music playing in the background. I was chilling at home, right? And, like, I turn, I'm not even paying attention to this game anymore. Like, I know UTEP's going to win. I'm scrolling on Twitter, and I hear Miner talk, and I'm like, is the wrong broadcast? Do I have John on?
Yes.
Is John on in the corner?
Yes.
So I have to rewind ESPN Plus, and I hear it, and I'm like, oh, wow. So I rewind it again, and there's a video on my phone of me reacting to it. It was just sick. It was awesome. It was a great shout. I take away all those things I've ever said about ESPN Plus just because of this moment. Just because of this moment.
I was wondering, like, does Matt Warner have read receipts on? Because, or does he have any receipts of us tweeting? Because I've tweeted some mean things about ESPN Plus. I've said much worse on this show, but Sal, we have never minced words when it comes to ESPN Plus. That's why we listen to John Teicher and Steve Yellen.
Yeah, and maybe it's bias as well. I still remember syncing. This is back when torrents were like going crazy. I don't know if anybody under 20 knows what that means, but shout out BitTorrent. Anyway, what I'm getting at is I would have to, you know, get the stream via those, right? And I would sync it up perfectly with Teich on the call. So all that to say, it's just all about Teich, man. And even if broadcast can have whoever else they want, a lot of people are partial to Teich, and for good reason, man.
Yeah, definitely good reason for that. And, hey, again, we're back at it tomorrow. The Miner Talk will continue at least for one more day. That's a guarantee. That's what we could give you, a guarantee. Miner Talk will continue tomorrow after the broadcast. We'll have countdown to tip-off here, 4 o'clock, 4:30 game, and then afterward, Miner Talk. And, of course, we will be live at the District West, 3233 North Mesa, in case you're looking for a spot to watch it with other UTEP fans. Corey Camper Jr., 18 points today. He looked great. Kevin Kalu, you know, George just mentioned it, 15-15. Solid performance. Barnes with 12. Otis Frazier with 12. And again, the stats don't mean anything to me. The fact that they were playing with joy, they had confidence, and they closed out the game. I mean, they were leading for a good majority of this game, and they closed it out. They kind of played how you remembered them. And that's why I have the tone that I have right now, is they kind of shook off everything they've done during this losing streak, And you know what? Everybody kept saying it on this show. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong with this team? What's wrong? Can you say one individual player makes a bit of a big difference in the locker room? Well, maybe. Ahmad Bynum did make the trip with this team. They had a clear head. They had Saturday and Sunday off. They weren't even doing anything basketball related. They didn't come home. They went straight from Ruston, Louisiana to Huntsville, Alabama. They didn't come to El Paso. They didn't make the trip back home. So they went immediately to the CUSA tournament and the championships. And now the Miners had a chance to play their first game. You saw it at the beginning, zero confidence. They were down early. They were down big. And then they kind of shot themselves into some confidence and stuff like that. So loved what we saw today. And, I mean, for me, my biggest takeaway is the fact that this team played this way without Ahmad Bynum, who I would argue is still their, was their best shot maker. And now, look at how they play. It's pretty remarkable. Going to the phones we go. Noel is joining us first, 915-505-6009. We got full phone lines, and we'll react to all these calls afterwards. Noel is joining us first. Noel, good evening, man. What's going on?
Good evening. Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Noel, give us your thoughts. Go ahead. We got plenty of callers behind you.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Noel, go ahead. Give us your thoughts, man.
Okay.
That's it. That's
a quick prediction.
Okay.
Hello?
No, I'm giving you 30 more seconds. You got to give me something, man.
The Miners are going to make the NCAA tournament. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, then I'll be getting my first tattoo of my life. So thank you, Noel. Appreciate your phone call. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Let's try it again. Tom, set the tone right. Tom, give us your thoughts on this game.
Okay. Well, congratulations to the Miners. I listened to it on the radio, and it was classic listening to Teicher and Steve yelling, being that excited again. So they're obviously, in front of their eyes, they played a really, really good game. And I think they need to close out their season with this kind of momentum. And I think they can do so. Teicher brought up something really interesting at the end of when he was doing a stats review. And he said that, the Miners out-rebounded only seven teams this season. Out of those seven times they out-rebounded, how many wins do you think they got?
Is it six? Is the number six?
7 for 7.
Wow, that's a good stat right there. That's a good stat.
Yeah. So I think that sheds a little light on kind of what the team has been missing. The steals make up for a lot of the lack of rebounding, but if they add the rebounding, then this team is really, really hard to beat. Defense, rebounding, inside scoring, get the other team in foul trouble. That's how we beat New Mexico State up in Las Cruces. And then, score from the foul line. And I think these guys can certainly beat Liberty again. They let that one go at home. That was just, that was unfortunate. I mean, Liberty really did outplay them in the last 10 minutes of that game. I mean, badly. But it's time to get back at Liberty. I think they can do it.
Okay, let's see what happens, man. Tom, we'll talk to you tomorrow either way. How about that? Let's just let's make that a guarantee. Give us a call tomorrow either way.
There we go.
Okay.
We'll be talking about a win tomorrow.
Okay, good stuff, Tom. Appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Jacob is next up with us as we continue here on Miner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, as we continue. 915-505-6009. Jacob, good evening. What's going on?
Hi, Adrian. I just wanted to let you know I'm calling from Catalina Island. It's like an island outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah?
But I watched it here.
Good stuff, Jacob.
They came out with great energy, I felt like. But I was surprised about the whole Ahmad Bynum situation. I didn't know about that until today. But I felt like that just motivated them more, that like they had to play, like create their own shot, get some better looks. But, yeah, they came out great. Those are the shots, like the three-point percentages. We need to make those shots more often. And it was really pretty to see because I felt like they had their spark back.
I felt like they did too. After. They had their swagger. They were smiling, Jacob. They were smiling on their team. And you're out way out at Santa Catalina Island, right outside of Long Beach. Big shout out to where you're at. And thank you for listening and giving us a call, my friend. But I was surprised that they were shooting with so much confidence. Jacob, I appreciate your phone call, man. Let's talk to you tomorrow. Give us a call either way. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And for the Miners, you know, to Jacob's point, 48% from three-point range. 48%. They were 12 of 25, Zay. If I told you they would have hit that margin without Ahmad Bynum, what would you say?
Yeah, I'd be surprised, first and foremost. But, I mean, look, at the end of the day, if my calculations are correct, like UTEP is 2-0 without Ahmad Bynum, right? So, and with them,
wow.
they were 17 and 13.
Say it for the people in the back.
You know, I'm not going to say, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but he's off the team for a reason. And obviously that was affecting their play. If they're, you know, they went on the road and beat NMSU for the first time in 10 years in Las Cruces without him. And now you win a Conference USA tournament game. I mean, is that a coincidence? Maybe. But we'll find out, you know, tomorrow, I guess, right? If it is a coincidence, then they'll probably lose. But if it's not, and he actually had some bearing on how they play, then UTEP could, you know, upset Liberty.
Okay, I'm going to swing it right back to you with this one right here. Would UTEP have been on a 7-game losing streak if Ahmad Bynum was off the team after their road trip to New Mexico?
You know, it's tough to tell, right?
That's the million-dollar question. That was the first thing that I was thinking of as soon as they started to catch their stride at the end of the first half. I was thinking to myself, was this the reason? Could you have pinpointed this as the only reason that they've struggled over the last month?
I guess it's the only logical reason, right? It's the only reason that makes sense and the only reason that you can kind of come to that conclusion because, I mean, when you put Ahmad Bynum in the equation, after he was suspended, they went 1-7, right? They only beat FIU. Versus, you know, they've beaten NMSU without him, and now they beat Sam Houston without. I mean, it just makes sense to say that, yeah, they probably wouldn't have gone on a 7-game losing streak if Ahmad Bynum, you know, didn't come back.
Sal, I'm going to bring you in on this because how ridiculous does it sound when we're saying this? A guy who shot over 40% from 3-point range, but they look better right now without him. I'll say this, it freed up a lot of opportunities for everybody else.
And I think on top of that, guys were able to cash in today as well. That's number one. They were able to hit those shots. But number two, just the fluidity of the team today, just the way that they looked, the way that they were out there in motion and complementing each other's movements. Like, everything was in sync, and that could be said, you know, for the way that they even looked against New Mexico State, as they mentioned in that win that they got over there at the Pan Am Center. Another game, people don't want to admit it, but Sam Houston, a current rival in Conference USA. So the two rivalry games, if you want to put it that way, you know, he does, his absence rather, you know, may or may not lead to a win, but I think what's more telling is how are they playing without him. So let's just say tomorrow that they lose to Liberty. I mean, it's still likely UTEP could play their best and lose us to Liberty.
Fair, very fair.
But how do they go out exactly, right? Are they up big and then they blow the lead, or is it neck and neck and they're able to hit some tough shots, you know, and hang with them and just happen to fall to a team that statistically is a lot better than them. So that's what I'm looking forward to. How can they go out there, and will they still be cohesive?
It's a great point. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. As we continue, Enrique is next up with us. Enrique, great to hear from you, my man. What's going on?
Hey, great win. Great win. This was a completely different team. And I don't know the situation with Bynum, but it's crazy how a toxic environment, a locker room, can really play a team. So that's the case. Like, these guys are playing like early season, and it was great to see. But I'll go on your tattoo thing. I tell you what, I'm littered with tattoos. If we make the tournament, I'll get a nice pickaxe with you.
Oh, I'm not getting a pickaxe. We're getting Minor Talk on there. I'm getting something that says Minor Talk.
I'll throw Minor Talk on there too.
Okay.
I'll throw that somewhere in the
lake. All right, Enrique. You got to help us find a sponsor, because that's the second side to this. Five gentlemen. I'm just roping Alberto into this, although he's never said that he's going to do this. I'm just roping him into this. Maybe Steve will do it as well.
Sun City has got some good tattoo artists, and I've got a lot
there
of
you
them
go.
There, so.
Okay. All right. Now now we're talking, Enrique. Now we're talking. What about what do you think, Sal?
You know what? As far as the sponsor goes, there is someone out there who said that he was sponsored. Now, he said my name. I don't know about everybody else. I don't want to, you know, fill up the pockets there. But this from Esteban at Este_Miner. I stand by what I said. If UTEP wins the Conference USA Tournament Championship, I will sponsor Salvador's Tet. A ver si Salvador este huevos.
Oh, man. So, that's good stuff.
You know what, Adrian? If you get a tattoo, I'll pay for it.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Right. So we've already got two taken care of. What we're going to do, Enrique, is we're going to make this happen if they make it all the way, which I still don't think. I still think that's a long shot. But, Enrique, I appreciate your phone call. Any prediction for tomorrow?
W. All the way. W.
Okay.
Let's talk Miners.
Okay, let's see it. Thank you, Enrique. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for weighing in. I'm worried, guys. I never thought this would even come like close. But I'm gonna say this, Sal, just to talk, you know, the positives of this. If you were to drink the UTEP Kool-Aid, here's what you would say. You'd say they just beat Sam Houston, who they kind of have their number. Okay, up next is Liberty, who's a rival in a sense, and so to speak. UTEP fans can't stand Liberty. They win an emotional game back and forth against the Flames just like they did last year. Oh, by the way, who did they play last year, the first two games in the CUSA tournament? Sam Houston and Liberty, reverse order, okay? Then the next game could end up being against the Aggies, New Mexico State. The semifinal matchup could be against NMSU. If you're drinking the Kool-Aid, If you're subscribing to those things right there, that could be the road ahead for UTEP. What do you think, Sal?
Oh, man. I mean, if things happen, it could play out that way. It's just, oh, man, it's hard to go against Liberty, man. I always look at it, if a team is their best or playing their best and they're going up against a team who's, you know, playing their best as well, who's going to come out on top? It's probably like the 2K way to go about things where you just simulate and the higher rating team wins. But I'm probably like 70-30 Liberty right now.
Okay. I'd feel pretty close to that too.
Yeah, so and I had UTEP at a zero because I didn't think they would be here. So
fair.
That's way more than what I thought before.
Okay, Alberto, if they actually did this, if this was the path ahead, how crazy would that be?
I don't even it just
Liberty and New Mexico State.
And then an eventual tattoo, Adrian, just to think about it, I get really anxious about it. But I think that the opponent at hand and who you might have in the future, you can't worry about all that. Just worry about Liberty. And then in the eventuality that you beat them, you'll worry about New Mexico
State. No, I've already thought about the end. I've already thought about the tattoo.
All of it. Oh.
Like, I'm worried. Okay. A tattoo aside, George, just the matchups when you look at that. What do you think about the Liberty matchup in particular? Because this is a team who UTEP beat on their home floor. They beat UTEP on UTEP's home floor. Now it's a neutral site.
Yeah, neutral site, Adrian. But I mean, if UTEP can play this way, right? And again, I know it's Sam Houston. But if they can capture whatever they had today in a bottle and transfer it over to the next game, I think they have a shot to beat anybody. We were talking, Sal and I were talking about that when we got into the station, that they have a shot. If they can play like this, as far as the matchup goes, it's Talon Peter, right? He's dangerous. He's the CUSA Sixth Man of the Year, right? He's the guy that exploded at the Dawn this last game. But then you look at the numbers, and I think UTEP over the last two games has led most of the game, right? For the both games, total time for sure that last game. So if it doesn't come down to those terrible 10 minutes, I mean, you know what? How does that game end up?
Zay, we have people who are willing to sponsor tattoos on this program.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it. I mean, am I the only one, like, wanting this?
Zay's the only one who's going to do it regardless if they win or not.
Yeah, man. This is going to happen either way. I'll find a sponsor. I'll find, shoot, man, if Otis Frazier hits a three next game, I'll do it, right? any excuse to get it. But,
oh, man.
I mean, jokes aside, if they win, you know, if they beat Liberty, then everybody can start to believe, right? Everybody has, you know, the the green light, in my opinion, to start drinking all the Kool-Aid, because you just upset the number one team in the tournament. Last year, after you beat Sam Houston State, right, that's when everybody started to get hyped. You're one game away. And, of course, this time if you beat Liberty, you still have two more games to win. But, hey, win one game, win two games, and get to that semifinal, and then let's start talking. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm banging it on tomorrow.
Roman is next up on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Roman, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. What'd you think?
I thought that it was the vintage team for this year that we saw, that they were able to make some shots and play really good defense. You know, I think the defense is pretty much locked down. I thought that that was there. They made more shots. Frazier finally, you know, made some shots. Like, he's been cold the last seven games. I think that we have a really good chance at Liberty. We beat them, you know. We beat them once already. My question, well, there's two questions, and then you can answer them, and then I'll be done here.
Okay.
But the first question is going to be, what happened to Bynum?
Yeah.
Number two, what did we do against Liberty that we beat them last game?
Okay, good questions. Let's go with number one. Hey, and Roman, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. We just opened up a phone line here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. We see all the comments on Twitter and X, and we'll get to all of them here in just a little bit. Let's start off with the Bynum situation, okay? Number one, he did not travel with the team on the road when they went to New Mexico State. That was all the way back on Saturday, February 8th. They said that right after that, I heard from a pretty credible source that Monday, right after that, he did not go to practice. And as things were kind of nearing the, like, all right, it's kind of, you know, clock's about to strike midnight. Are you moving forward or not? And there was a pretty good heart-to-heart, and you know, at least from the Bynum perspective, he rejoined the team and everything was okay, right? Like, Bynum comes back. They go on the road against Liberty. They go on the road against FIU, and they it was a home game against FIU, and they end up beating the Panthers. Bynum comes off the bench in that game, and they end up winning that one 77-63. They end up losing the next seven right after that, okay? So what I, you know, from just the timeline perspective and just what we know as far as the timeline goes from UTEP, Bynum rejoined the team kind of like on a shorter leash, and throughout this whole final stretch, I don't think, you know, both parties were on the same page. You know, if you're Ahmad Bynum, you're wondering, well, why am I not, you know, the go-to scorer? Why am I not the guy? And then for UTEP's perspective, they're going to be a team-led group no matter what. And that was a reflection of how they played today. It was a lot of balanced scoring, you know, a lot of selfless plays on defense and stuff like that. I'm not calling Bynum selfish by any means, but you can kind of read between the lines. Look at what happened in the previous game against La Tech. Bynum doesn't play a second in the second half. A lot of frustration after that game. You heard it in the post-game show. You heard it, you know, even going into the game, Sal.
Yep.
There was like that comment that was like, hey, you know, I'm willing to pay for your flight right now. Yep. Out of pocket. I'm willing to send anybody home that wants to go home right now out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And that was from head coach Joe Golding. He said that pregame. No one decided to hit the plane. No one decided to go home. But maybe after the fact, that's where, you know, emotions kind of boiled over. I'm not sure. I don't have any clue. When everybody else found out today that Bynum wasn't playing, that's when I found out. My phone blew up right before the game started and said, hey, on the broadcast, they just said that Bynum's been dismissed from the team and he's no longer with the group. We find out that's the case and he's not playing in this game. Like, literally right before tip-off. So that was the reality. Yeah. That's what ended up happening with all of this. And today, it looked like this team played a lot more free without Ahmad Bynum, Sal.
Yeah, and maybe it's it is the first step in a new direction, right? Who knows how far they go without him, but for at least 40 minutes, you got to see like a different type of team out there. And I know that some people could probably say, well, what about the games that they lost when he didn't play in those final possessions? He wasn't even on the floor. It's not necessarily that. It's just the energy that's around there. And it was affected, whether it be one party or another. So you got to see a team, a completely different team who was energized in a different way, and it just so happened to work out today. So it's a tough matchup on the next one, but I mean, that's a really good first step.
We got Brian, we got Ed, and then we got King Eric joining us coming up next. But I want to answer that second question that Roman asked, Liberty. And I'll bring you in on this one, Zay. But what I can remember from that first game against Liberty, the Flames on the road, is it was as back and forth as it could get. In fact, you could make the argument that Liberty probably should have won that game. Liberty led 51-45 with 11 minutes to go in the game. In fact, they led 48-43 with 12 minutes left. So they had a comfortable lead, or they had a commanding lead on their side. And even when the Miners started to cut into that lead, the Flames seemed to, always clap back. It was the final 7 minutes in which the Miners hit some big shots. And let's be truth tellers here. The guy who ended up hitting the eventual game winner was Ahmad Bynum. So let's be honest when we talk about this game and how it was won by UTEP the previous time. Yes, Talen Peter killed it off the bench. 20 points against the Miners in when UTEP ended up winning in that game. Matheny had 17. But, stats aside, that was kind of how the flow went. And the Miners ended up closing it out thanks to a late shot on their end.
Yeah, it was Ahmad Bynum with the game winner, like you said. So you got to give him his credit, right? And that game coming, you were coming off the embarrassing New Mexico State loss at home, right? Sold out. They kind of had their backs against the wall. Like, they needed to win that game to keep everybody on board, and they did. And, that was UTEP's third straight against Liberty. And Joe Golling said it. I mean, they play them a certain way, and they had found success. And I guess in that next game when Liberty came, to the Don Haskins Center, they made some sort of adjustment halftime that really stumped the Miners, right? I think that's pretty obvious. So we'll see how UTEP plays them. They always say that they like to kind of speed them up a little bit. They like to throw them off their game because Joe Golney has said it before, that defensively and offensively, Liberty's a tough team to game plan against. So at the end of the day, you got to have some luck on your side if you're going to beat Liberty. And what I mean by luck is you got to hope that some of those open threes that you're bound to give up don't go in like they did last time they played the Flames.
Well, maybe UTEP's going on their side with bad luck from opponents shooting from the perimeter. Look at what Sam Houston shot today. 2-for-19 from beyond the arc. Ugh. I mean, that's why the Bearcats were out of this game, when it was all said and done. It probably should have been like a 79-74 game, but the Bearcats couldn't shoot at all in this game. So back to the phones we go. We got full phone lines. Brian's next with us. Brian, good evening, man. What'd you think of this game?
It was pretty good for the most part. We were able to hold down the Bearcats by a lot, especially their star pair, Lamar Wilkerson. We did a really good job of containing them by making them 1-for-8 on the three-pointer and making it really hard for them to score in general. All I'm going to say is this. I better see that tattoo when we make it to the NCAA tournament, Adrian. Going real good on you, bro.
Oh, man. Oh, Brian. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for weighing in, and thank you for being always consistent and calling in on the program. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. The Wilkerson point is a great one, George, because 22 points, 6 of 16, 1-for-8. I was welcoming every three-pointer he'd take because they were all bad looks. I felt like the Miners got hands in his face left and right.
Except for that first one he made early on in the game, which was wide open. Yeah, the rest of them were tough. They were running him off the line. He shot 37.5% from the field, right? So nothing was really easy for him. 22 points, but early on in that game, it looked like he was going to have another huge game. The Miners were able to wrangle him up and make it difficult for him. He had a hard time.
Alberto, at any point did you get worried, like, with the Miners having a win a lead for as long as they did going into the latter part of that game? Because it was Wilkerson the previous game on Thursday who kind of took over in the final couple minutes and sealed the game for Sam Houston at home. But this time around, I felt like the Miners had a lead. They maintained it. And I kept whispering to you guys or telling you guys, like, hey, this game will be decided, in the final couple minutes. Well, it wasn't really that. The Miners just put the clamps on and commanded that win. 26 minutes, the Miners had a lead in this game.
They commanded the lead for a majority of the game. I'll tell you when I was kind of a little bit worried at that 7-minute mark in that second half. It was 58-51.
Yes,
and I
yes.
was like, oh, this is
getting, the run coming.
Is, yes, I was just really worried, but the Miners were able to put the doubts away, and that's what made me feel like, hey, this team, they're playing a lot different than they were during that losing streak. So
yeah,
you feel like they've turned the page.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Ed is next with us, 915-505-6009. Good evening, Ed. What'd you think?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, long time no talk. Miner Eddie Mack, what's up?
It's good to hear from you guys.
It's good to hear from you. Hope all is well, man.
Oh, all is well. I've got a lot of stuff going on, and I got a 14-year-old granddaughter who's a freshman in high school in softball, and
nice.
Spending a lot of time with her, and we're always at the batting cages, so that's what it takes.
Hey, as it should be, man. Family's number one. I appreciate it, Eddie.
Yeah, batting cages and squats. That's what we've been working on all summer. So
there you go. There you go, man. Well, summer's translated here to the spring, and we're talking March Madness. It's March right here, Eddie Mack. What'd you think?
I thought it was great, and I'm going to make a prediction about tomorrow's game. If the Miners can keep one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country at 8 three-pointers or less, they'll be in a good position to win the game. That's the key here for me, the defense and keeping them at 8 or less. That'll give them a good chance. The only exception to that is if they go into overtime. But you've got to have somebody in their face. You can't let them just have an open shot because they're going to kill you. They're a very methodical, and they have a lot of good three-point shooting guys on that team. So I just wanted to make that point. But if they can do that, we'll be in it.
It should be interesting, man. I like your key on the perimeter defense. I feel like that will be the key, no doubt, going into Liberty. So do you have a win or a loss? What's your final prediction? What do you think, man?
It's as simple as that. If we can keep them at 8 or less, we'll win.
Okay. The formula is there. Thanks to Miner Eddie Mack. I appreciate it, Ed. Thank you for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number if you'd like to weigh in. If you've been waiting to get in, we just freed up 2 phone lines. So 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number. Back to Twitter we go, and then we'll get to Eric. Tristan Pence. Miners played much better on defense, and the shot selection was very improved. Elijah Jones was quite the spark off the bench, limited second-half turnovers, and hit the free throws. Clearwater, Bynum must be a real pain in the butt. I'm glad the coaches are holding him accountable for whatever he kept doing. Seems like he won't play for UTEP again. Need high-character dudes. Leo underscore Miner fan, the juice is loose. The orange and blue juice. That's what he had to say. This is coming in from Big Cat at SHSU Ball Knower. Embarrassing performance, and then Mudge Madness said, held is crazy, we can't shoot at all of a sudden. Pick My Axe 915, Sam Houston was one of the worst teams in the conference. Go beat Liberty, then we'll talk. It's not out of the realm of possibility because this is a weak conference. Liberty being the tallest midget means nothing. That's coming from Pick My Axe 915. Sidelines UTEP says that he's drinking the Kool-Aid, so he says, oh yeah, he's drinking the Kool-Aid. Leo underscore Miner fan, don't do this to me, Mr. Adrian. Still hard for me to believe that they can get to 4 games, but hell, it's fun when they play like this. The shots are falling tonight, but I'd happily eat crow if they did. Sad UTEP fan. Good thing they made a statement, proud of them, but still way out on this team. I feel like, you know, if I had told myself on Saturday, hey, Adrian, UTEP did what you thought they would and beat Sam Houston, I think Saturday Adrian would tell me, dude, it's it. That's it. They're going to beat Sam Houston. How do you feel like – how can you justify this team going out and beating Liberty, Sal, when, you know, you are a team who still lost 7 in a row and a team that finished 8th in the conference?
Aside from records, right, and stats and all that, it's all about how you're playing going into the tournament, and Liberty's playing the best basketball pretty much out of everybody in Conference USA. There's some teams that may be some steps behind them, but Liberty, for pretty much all part of Conference USA, they've looked the best, and that's why they finished with the best records. So you're going up against guys who have been cohesive for a 3-month stretch. You're the Miners. You played good for 40 minutes. That's a very big difference. So, yeah, man.
As Joe Chacon says, Zay all the way with a hashtag. I'll ask Zay. Do you actually believe that they could beat Liberty?
Yeah, easily. I think they could
easily.
Beat Liberty.
Wait. Can we revisit Zay from last week? Zay from a week ago, and Zay from a week ago said he did not want to see Liberty.
I mean, yeah, I didn't want to see Liberty or New Mexico State. I'd rather see Kennesaw or Jacksonville. But at the end of the day, I mean, we know this conference. Like, anything can happen, right? Yeah, maybe UTEP gets smacked by Liberty, or maybe they don't. Like, it's a coin flip to me. These teams, like, I don't want to be like mean to Liberty, but like, it's Liberty, right? They don't strike fear in my heart as much, you know, when I see them on the court. When I see like 2 5-9 guards just chucking up threes, I'm thinking, hey, if they have a bad game, like, this is such a beatable team. So at the end of the day, they are the one seed for a reason. They did get hot. I have to respect that. And obviously UTEP's the underdog, but I mean, I don't think UTEP's looking at this game either saying, oh, we're so scared of the Flames. No, I mean, they're going to have some confidence, and I think when you have confidence in March, anything could happen.
Okay, you just talked me into the idea of, like, in warm-ups, right, in the layup drills and stuff like that. If I'm UTEP, forget it, if I'm UTEP, if I'm just anybody, like if I'm a hooper playing basketball and I look on the opposite side of the floor and I see Cade Matheny and I see Owen Aquino and I see Talen Peter and I see Colin Porter with that stupid headband and I see Zach Cleveland, I'm not worried. Like physically, they're not physically imposing. Like, they're not the guys who are going to, like, look at you and totally, like, scare you or completely take your confidence out of a game. They're going to shoot lights out and then take your confidence that way. Mm. But physically, or just on, like, right off the cuff, I mean, these are just a bunch of guys who, Sal, if I saw these guys in a rec gym, I'd say, you know what, I've got a chance, not knowing anything about these guys.
Oh, man. They're the type of players who will say, I see you looking at me, but don't worry. Don't look at me. Look at the ball go in the hoop. Like, that's what it's supposed to do, right? And I do it more than you. That's pretty much who they are. Like,
the silencers.
I can't stand them at all. Just so obnoxious, but they're damn good. I mean, that's exactly why they have the record that they do. Yeah.
I'll say this. It happens at times, like when you're about to play pickup and you look over to the other side and you're like, oh, we can take these guys. And then, little did you know, that the 40-year-old on their team can hit lights out three-pointers, and you had no clue. But you're right, or the white guy on their team who looks like, you know, he looks like Toby Flenderson over here from The Office, but he's draining triples left and right, and he's doing these no-look passes. So
without sweating, too. That's
it could go
insane.
It could go one of two ways. King Eric is next with us, 915-505-6009. UTEP defeats Sam Houston, 79-65. You want to talk about it, let's do it. 915-505-6009. King Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, Adrian, how you guys doing?
Doing great, King Eric. What did you think of tonight's game?
Hey, you know what's crazy? You guys are talking about Bynum and how he might be a cancer. You know, within that 7-game losing streak, you know, Bynum started damn near every game of that. I mean, I'm not saying it's a coincidence, but
I want to look at that. I do want to look at that number. That's interesting.
Think about it. Devin Barnes got benched. Bynum started essentially every game, and they kept losing. You had said earlier that Bynum, you wouldn't say Bynum's necessarily selfish. I would disagree on that just because of this. You look at his game, and he creates a lot of his own shots, and he keeps the ball essentially way too long, and he takes that step-back three, and it's either money or it's going to miss when there's like 12 seconds left on the shot clock. That's selfish basketball. I don't care who you are. You could be Steph Curry. That's selfish basketball.
Man, we shouldn't play together then, that's for sure. I'm just kidding. Because I'll chuck some of those threes without looking at my teammates, that's for sure.
I mean, they always say if you're open, take the shot. But he doesn't get open, and he doesn't necessarily create his own open shot. So it's like, what are you doing? I mean, I've always said that they match up really well against Liberty. They play a defense that, I mean, it's hard-nosed defense. It's in your face. Obviously, they got to contain Talen Peter. He's going to be a bucket getter. I mean, it's easy to say on paper, but it's hard to do once it actually comes to that. Yeah, I think tomorrow, I don't know. It's tough for me to say if they'll win or not. It's tough right now.
It'll be interesting, man. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, Eric. The stat is pretty solid as far as Ahmad Bynum starting in these last seven games. Take away the first two, right? Because the first two were fresh off the first two losses of this losing streak for seven. Those two were fresh off of Ahmad Bynum's suspension, right? Like, those are the first two games off of his one-game hiatus against New Mexico State. For the last five games, so if we take out those two, for the last five games, Ahmad Bynum started three of those five. So that's, I mean, do we take anything out of that right there, George, as far as him starting?
Hard to say that, right? Back to King Eric's point, yeah, he's a black hole, though, offensively. Those shots are going to go up. I think he averaged 0.9 assists this year. His highest assist game was the very first game of the season against Sol Ross, where he had three. So he's not distributing, not like Corey Camper or David Terrell. But then again, you know, was his role ever to distribute?
Maybe
right?
not.
Right?
Maybe
and,
not.
And he did his job. He shot 44% from the three, which is what UTEP was looking for after having, you know, struggling from that part of the court last year. So I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard to say right now. A lot of it's speculation.
Zay, I'll let you weigh in since you're the fantasy basketball owner of Ahmad Bynum here among us. How will we remember his career at UTEP? I think we'll have to, unfortunately, remember it by the end of how he finished off. But he'll go down as a person who was a top 60 three-point shooter in the country, 43% from beyond the arc at UTEP.
Yeah, you know, when I think of Ahmad Bynum, I think of one of my first, like, favorite UTEP players was Keith Frazier. I mean, he was pulling it from the logo, and he was draining it. And, you know, he was just – there's so much about him. Even though that team was bad, he got kicked off the team. He left the team. He was suspended.
I was waiting for that. I was like, yeah. When are you going to get to the real part of this?
Yeah, sorry. But, I mean, he left the team, and he's just, like, my first memory of a UTEP player that it just didn't work out. And there's been a couple since then, but, I mean, their games are just so similar. And it's just sad to see that the way that this has kind of gone out, right? And I guess it's a wake-up call to UTEP fans that, hey, even though a guy can shoot lights out, he can do this, that, and the third, sometimes, you know, what we don't see behind the scenes can really affect everybody else. And that 2019 team, whatever happened with Lathan and Hawkins and all those guys, it obviously affected them. And it's, once again, just another sad story. Mario McKinney, I could keep going, right? That's the sad part. But that's how it goes. I'll just remember Ahmad Bynum as one of those guys that I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I think you're going to get UTEP fans to remember a lot of different things right there. You threw a lot of different names out there, including the Keith Frazier name out there. By the way, Keith Frazier played 18 games right about until the end of the season for the Miners. Over those 18 games right there that Keith Frazier played for the Miners, he shot 33% from beyond the arc. He shot 53% from two-point attempts. He was a nice mid-range jump shooter. I really liked what he did there. And true shooting percentage, 52%. Effective field goal percentage, 50%. I mean, this guy was a shot maker all around the floor. Before UTEP, he was at North Texas. Before North Texas, he was at SMU. And so he had, you know, bounced around a couple different places as well. Ahmad Bynum, we know last year, he was at Trinity Valley Community College. The year before that, he was with DePaul. So, or I should say the school before that, he was with DePaul. Let's go back to the phones now. Pinky is next with us. It is so great to hear from Pinky here on the program. 915-505-6009. Pinky, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, you know, I've always been doing the Dr. Frazier Crane. I've been listening. But I want to kind of congratulate the Miners for the win, and thanks to ESPN Plus for showing these games. I remember the days that we used to have to just stick to the radio and listen to the games on the radio, and Tysh and Steve do a great job like always. Now, my point to you is, well, everything that happened, how long are they going to have the tournament there in Huntsville?
Oh, thank you. Great question. This is a great – thank you for asking this one here, Pinky, because you always ask some good questions. But they initially – I don't know what the number or the dollar figure was – Huntsville, Alabama initially put a two-year bid on the Conference USA tournament. And can I just repeat that really quick? Conference USA could not get any place in the country to host the CUSA tournament. By the way, before it was in Huntsville, Alabama, it was in Frisco, Texas at the beautiful Star. We all made fun of it then because it was the big steel curtain that divided two games that would go on at one point. Little did we know that the tournament would go so far away from El Paso, Texas, and you'd have to jump on at least two flights to get to Huntsville, Alabama, or do something crazy like Colin Deaver did and drive overnight to go watch this team if you really wanted to in Huntsville, Alabama. But all of those things are ridiculous. All those things are insane. And it's because they're playing in Huntsville, Alabama, Pinky. And to answer your question, there has been no indication that this tournament will continue in Huntsville, Alabama. It might be a two and done, 2 years and done. And you know what I have to say to that, Pinky? Sayonara, Huntsville, Alabama. On to Las Vegas for the Mountain West tournament. That's what I have to say.
Hey, my question. It's hard to get there as it is. I've been there once, and I said I'm never coming back. But when Tosh made the announcement of only less than 1,000 fans for that game, shouldn't that tell you something? At least we could go to fly to Dallas and go to the Star and watch them play.
And that's and the thing is, Pinky, that's more than all the fans that go to these Conference USA games anyways, you know? Like, none of these these programs have fan bases that, you know, actually draw significant crowds anyways.
Oh, there's nobody in Huntsville. There's no college. The closest one is Jacksonville State, and that's about 170, almost 200 miles from there.
And then how many people are actually going to Jacksonville State games, right? Like, UTEP fans are real pissed off about their fan attendance. And look, they still lead the league in attendance, which is ridiculous.
Well, I've been there all these years, so to me it doesn't bother me. I'm going anyway, regardless who's there and who's not there. And everybody knows that. But that's my point. My point is they need to change the venue so it can be more accessible to people. They can go out like on the weekend or something like that.
Agreed.
Take a couple of days off. Take a couple of days off, go watch the games, and come back.
Can't wait for Vegas, Pinky. We'll see you there 2 years from now. Book it. Book the trip. Appreciate it, Pinky. Thank you for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009. Hunter is next with us. Before we get to Hunter, I'll mention this, okay? This is an economic impact report by Rocket City that has garnered plenty of praise for the city of Huntsville in Madison County, quote-unquote. Get this, guys. The Conference USA Men's and Women's Basketball Championship led the way in Huntsville with $3.2 million in economic impact, according to the past report from AL.com. Sal, I mean, I guess that's a good thing for Huntsville, right? Not a great thing for everybody else in the league.
It's so tough, man. I mean, it basically comes down to, does that $3 million, or, you know, three point whatever, mean more to Huntsville, Alabama than, let's just throw a number that's slightly higher, $4.1 million to Ruston, Louisiana? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different questions that could be asked, but just kind of looking at the landscape of it.
Yeah.
As of right now, because it's going to change, you know, pretty soon with, who is it, Delaware or I forgot whoever.
Yeah, Missouri, Delaware and Missouri State.
So the point still stands there. Those teams are teams from other states as well, two separate states. There's only one state that has two teams, that being Texas. And guess who they were? The teams that played today. UTEP is closer to an out-of-state team. I know it's New Mexico State, but, I mean, this is crazy all around, looking at it across the board. My mind is about to bust just looking at all these little logos in different states.
Yeah.
Like, how much – what is the travel mileage between these teams?
And the geographical differences couldn't be crazier.
It's three time zones. Are you kidding me?
Oh, and I see in this article, the funniest thing in this entire article is Judy McLeod, who is the great commissioner out of Conference USA, she says something like, oh, I'm so excited because Kennesaw is a three-hour drive from Huntsville, Alabama. Maybe we can get some more fans.
Wow.
It's like these people want themselves in their own conference to be taken seriously. This is why, Judy. These are one of the many reasons why, Judy, that you're a one bid league. I'm sorry. There you go. 915-505-6009. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. More calls coming up next on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Streaming worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
Hunter is next up with us on Minor Talk. We'll get to our hot hand of the game later on, presented by Wind Supply El Paso. Hunter, good evening, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. I didn't get to watch. I listened to the whole game driving back from Austin. But you guys are pretty funny, man.
We are pretty funny. And I'll say this. Yeah. Can I just tell you, I did not drink the Kool-Aid. We are pretty funny, but we did not. I am not drinking the Kool-Aid, just so you know.
Well, no, I get it, man, because nobody knows what's going to happen. This is the only thing that's been consistent about this team is their inconsistency. Who knows who shows up tomorrow? I don't think Liberty blows them out, though, because of the rivalry. Weren't they the team that the assistant coach got in a shouting
yes.
with?
Yes, time? Yes, yes, so yes, full, with Coach Roberts on UTEP's side.
Yeah, this is a matchup I want to see. Like, of anybody, this is the team that least worries me because they're better than UTEP. UTEP is not supposed to beat them, and that tends to be who UTEP beats. UTEP is disappointed when we're expecting them to win. They've done that all year. So there's no pressure. They can just go and take it to them because they're a hated rival. And I know it's a recent rivalry, but I can't think of it. I hate them more than NMSU. I mean, I hate the look on that guy's face every time he hits a shot. I hate the look on some of their coaches. This is a game that this is the first one I want to see. You know, what's the problem with it? But you guys are funny talking about looking over and they don't look like basketball players, man. You guys never watched White Men Can't Jump? Come
on. Yes, yes. That looks like me though. It's like if I stack up next to these guys and I'm looking like a guy who can hang with these guys, then I shouldn't be on the floor, or like those guys shouldn't be on the floor. So I'm looking inward right here, Hunter.
But I'll tell you this, man. The team is just as flawed as they've been. You know, the parts that I got worried were when it was still a single-digit game and these guys are giving three or four possessions because they still don't care to rebound the ball. They don't have the aggressiveness and that killer instinct to finish this game out and rebound the ball, and they end up giving them three possessions and then a foul because they fouled every time down the court. They're still just as flawed. They finally played where they should be playing and beat a team that they should beat. So a win is a win, and we should always be happy for it, advancing. I honestly thought they were going to lose by double digits, and this disaster of a season would be over, and we'd be left picking up the pieces, right? So this is good. I like your all's little tattoo bets, but I'll tell you this, man. There is no chance that win this Conference USA tournament.
No chance.
And I'm so definite on that. If they do it, I will pay for your and Sal's trip, and the three of us are going to go to the NCAA tournament game.
Oh, no, my gosh.
No offense to anybody else, but you all are the OGs over there, so I'm willing to do that. And if they make it to the NCAA, I'm paying and we're going. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my goodness. All these bets. We need to take all these bets off. Can we start with the football bets? What happens if they win more than four games next year?
Hell will freeze over.
Oh man. Do you have an actual prediction for tomorrow, or you're just dumbfounded and not really sure where this is going because it's as inconsistent as it could be?
Man, after that last home game, I say we get a win. They need revenge. It's about time that something goes their way, and the revenge is sweet. You know, he who laughs loudest. Let's get the last laugh against these idiots.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. Hunter, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Thank you for the Southwest points there for – what do you think, Sal? Des Moines, Iowa, Salt Lake City, Utah, Buffalo, New York?
I'm all in. Let's do it. Because, right, they're going to the Mountain West in a couple of years. If it's if it's over there, it's close in the region. Hey, Delaware's coming soon. Why not go to Buffalo, New York? It's a lot closer to there than it is from here. We could landscape, you know, next year's last game on the road for football. I like it.
915-505-6009. Oh, man. This show's been fun today. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. 600 ESPN El Paso.com. I figured today would be a passionate show either way. You know, they win, it's everybody getting a little too excited and all that kind of stuff. The reason why I feel like my tone is a little different is because the team looks different. I mean, they were without Bynum, and it felt like they had some confidence. They were playing with a little bit more swagger. You know, the guy I'm going to highlight the most, though, Zay, is Corey Camper Jr. Early on, when they were going through a bit of a slump, I thought Camper pulled them out of the mud and hit some early shots that gave this team confidence. And he was smiling, but the best play that I've seen all year long defensively was by Corey Camper Jr. on a chase down swat out of bounds. It was called a foul. They ended up calling like a shooting foul. But I saw the speed that Corey Camper had on that chase down, steal or swat or whatever you want to call out of bounds. And I just thought, that's the urgency, that's the energy that you got to play with in order to try to make a run like this in the CUSA tournament.
Yeah, everybody, you know, kind of calls Otis Frazier, he's the X factor. He needs to be on for UTEP to win. He's the guy. But I think the key to a UTEP win tomorrow, any game, in the, you know, it doesn't matter when, where, how. Corey Camper is usually the X factor. He plays 40 minutes. He's back to where he should have been, you know, prior to his injury. He dropped 18 points. He's UTEP's best on-ball defender, in my opinion. And, you know, they need his energy. They need him to be on, and they need him to be on especially against Liberty, right? He needs to be able to use his 6'5" stature against the smaller, you know, Liberty guards and the size that he has on him. I think, you know, between him, you know, Devin Barnes and David Terrell, no disrespect to those guys, but he's the guy that I trust most to get a post bucket against a smaller guard.
Yeah, yeah.
Those post-ups, they worked in the past against Liberty. They need to work again, and I really, really hope that Corey Camper, you know, is able to have a big game against Liberty tomorrow, because if he's not, I don't see UTEP winning that game.
Yeah, and he's got to take more than four free throw attempts, too, to your point. Like, if you're going to go down there and you're going to get dirty in the paint, if you're Corey Camper Jr., draw those fouls, because he's automatic from the free throw line, too. So, like what you had to say there as far as him being an X factor going into tomorrow's game, I think that's valid. And he played all 40 minutes on whatever kind of injury he's on whatever kind of percentage he's on, all 40 minutes for Corey Camper Jr. I like that in a big way. Let's go back to Twitter and X. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. David Corral Jr., congratulations, but this Jekyll and Hyde act needs to stop. This is coming in from Sidelines at UTEP Sidelines, our pal. You all are the true goats of the town. Daniel Gonzalez, I never doubted this team, which is hilarious because he's been a funny troll on Twitter and X. Tristan Pence, UTEP controlled the tempo of the game and got back to playing solid defense. The Miners have proven to be a matchup nightmare for Liberty. That's what Tristan said. The Miners will need to keep up the solid defense and guard the heck out of the three-point line. Gotta love the ESPN shout-out to Minor Talk. Thank you, Tristan. Tristan came over, and he and his wife came over and said congratulations on that Minor Talk shout-out afterward at the district, so I appreciate them in a big way. This is from the Minor Pickaxe podcast. After the Minor Talk, check out our episode later covering reactions and the Liberty preview. We go as Corey Camper goes. We said this months ago. Once he got his high ankle sprain, he's back? We'd like to think so. Okay, good stuff, the Minor Pickaxe. Appreciate it. This is from Edgar Montiel, one of our pals. I called it, just kidding. I didn't see this coming at all. Just when I thought I was done, they go back and suck me back in. Let's go, UTEP basketball. Nice shout out to Minor Talk during the broadcast. # don't let us win one. Okay. This is from Enrique. This is what the team needed. This is a glimpse of the Miners early in the seasons, hungry and playing like a team. Give me Liberty. This team can do it. # don't give us one. # blood sock Miners. # Miner Talk. Okay. Last one. Pick my axe 915. Since Corey Camper got hurt in January, the team's performance plummeted. Maybe he got healthy. I think he's the best two-way player on the team. Kind of like what Zay was saying right there. Good points. Hey, Sal, who's on three? Who's with us on three right now? I lost it. I lost it on my side.
No I got worries. You. Let's see. That one is going to be... Oh, dang. Hold on one sec. Let me see. I thought I said...
No worries. What we'll do is we'll go to Jason Craig first here as we continue. 915-505-6009. Our pal, Jason. What's up, man? Great to hear from you.
What's going on, guys? How we doing today on this Victory Tuesday, huh? Hello?
Okay, Jason, I have to, I don't know if you heard, there's a couple things I got to catch you up with. Number one, they shouted us out on the ESPN Plus broadcast, okay? They shouted us out. Number two, we made a tattoo bet. If UTEP wins all these games and goes to the NCAA tournament, we need to get tattoos to say Minor Talk.
Wow, okay.
So I just caught you up. I caught you up to the last hour and change. So how's it going with you, man?
Yeah, I couldn't watch all of the game. I was doing a whole bunch of things, but I did listen to it on the road. I got home and watched like the last 5 minutes, and it sounded like, you know, at the end of the first half it was really close, and then in the beginning it seemed like it was gonna, you know, get taken away, but then they came through and got the job done. That's the whole point, is get the job done, do the best that you can to get the job done, focus on it, don't get too distracted over mistakes, the fouls. Don't worry about that. Just focus on getting the job done. Don't let us win one. That's important. That's a very big statement. Don't let us win one, because you win one, then you got to win another one. And don't let us win one either. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow we're going in to go play Liberty. Man, that one's going to be tough, but don't let us win it. Don't let us win it, because then it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm really excited. I'm not saying it's a definite, because it definitely is not. You know how this team has been the entire season. It's been like how the games have been playing. Yo, you got to start off real, real hot, and then second half you kind of just plummet down. So let's keep the foot on the pedal. You know what I'm saying?
I'll ask you this. You've seen Liberty in person. Do you think UTEP can beat them, and how much do you hate Liberty?
I hate Liberty with everything I got. I really do. I really do. We can beat Liberty. We can. It's just, you know, with Camper being backed out, that's going to add so much more for what we need. We can beat them as long as everybody's head's in the game and smart plays. Foul trouble, I feel that's always been the issue. And just little mistakes. But as long as we keep that mentality of, I really want to, you know, put this on and just win one. Just keep winning one.
Okay.
That's all you got to do. Just keep winning one.
We'll see how it goes, man. It's going to be a fun one for sure. Jason, it's great to hear from you, man. I appreciate you as always.
Boys, guys, I'll see you guys around.
All right, man. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you soon. That's Jason Craig joining us as we continue. 915-505-6009 as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. A lot of tweets to still get to. Our program is still moving, man. We are here for a late night here on Minor Talk. It's been fun. Nathan's next with us. Nathan, good evening. Thanks for waiting with us. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Adrian?
Nathan, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I want to give a shout out to my homies back in El Paso, Big Cat and Jesse, and the girl I knocked out about last year this time at the district, giving a full time out.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! What are you talking
about? I'm here in
Oklahoma
now, but...
What are you talking about?
I think tomorrow the way UTEP wins is by a hot start and good defense. Today could have easily gone a different direction if we didn't hit those three threes in a row, down 10, you know, it gets out of hand. I think if they can put together good defense for 40 minutes, I think UTEP has a good chance. But if they let Liberty go on a 10-0 run, it's going to be really tough to get back.
You know, the scary part about Liberty is you can be up 10, you could be down 10, and they go hot. They get hot, and it's over. Like, it's over either way. Like, you could be up, you could be down. It doesn't matter.
The last time we played them, I mean, I felt like, well, both the games were about 70s, right? Mid 70s, low 70s scores.
Yeah, that's correct. Both of them. Yeah, the other one, UTEP couldn't get to 70, but yeah, to your point, yes.
Yeah, so I think that's the key, is that we can't let them shoot a high percentage, and we got to play good defense. I'd like to see a game that's in the 60s. You know, it would be great to see us shoot it well and them be off the mark, but I think we just got to to avoid the 10-0 runs and just kind of battle back and forth.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, Nathan. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Good phone call there as far as the thoughts and the analysis on the Liberty side of things. I mean, they could go lights out. They could hit some big shots. They could really distance themselves. I'm talking about the Flames. Or if the Miners have a lead, they could come back in an instant. That's the kind of squad Liberty is. That's why I was looking at both games, like how fluctuating how the scores fluctuated on both sides. Kind of scary to see, you know, Miners holding on to a big lead when the Miners ended up losing in that game. That was a home game. And then on the flip side, Miners trailed in that game. They won at various points. In fact, they had a point late, like I was talking about, where they were down big. And Zay, didn't really matter. Miners were able to come back and win thanks to some late shots. But maybe the number is 70. Maybe you have to get to 70 if you're UTEP. Offensively, you have to find a way to score to get to 70. And then on the flip side, you have to try to hold Liberty to score fewer than 70. I don't know if that makes any sense, if 70 is the number to kind of look at for tomorrow.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. 70, you know, that's kind of the golden number, and I think it'll come down to this, whether UTEP can close out down the stretch. I think it'll be a close game no matter what. There's obviously going to be that Liberty run where Matheny or one of the short guys hits like three straight threes, and it's like, oh, whoa, right? So you're going to get punched in the face a couple of times. You're bound to. How will they get up? How will they respond? And we'll see. I mean, this team, they need to be the tougher team. You know, in those seven-game losing streak, not a single game were they tough. They were not tough. They were not gritty. They just had no heart. And I know that's like the easy way to say why you're losing seven games, but it's the truth, right?
Yes.
They were not the tougher team. They need to be the tougher team. Joe Golding stresses it. I'm stressing it. I know they're probably not listening to me, but if they are, they need to be the tougher team.
Yeah, it's totally correct on that one. Back to the phone, or I should say 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number if you want to weigh in. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X if you want to weigh in that way. Let's go back to Twitter next. We got a bunch of tweets to get to here on the program. 915 Minor Den. They probably would have won a few more without Bynum. Their defense is great without Bynum, but I also think the key to their season was Corey Camper going down against Jacksonville State. If he doesn't get hurt, they probably win that game, and who knows what happens after that. Rick Valava, dude, I'll get a tattoo too. all right, we're taking receipts, Rick. I had to bookmark that tweet right there, because if we actually have to go back and do this, we're coming back at you. Joe Chacon, good intro music today. Now go with You're the Best by Joe Bean Esposito for the next three wins and give this tourney a Cobra Kai feel. Hashtag, yep, I'm old. Hashtag, but old enough to remember 92. Hashtag, future Minor Ink crew members. hashtag George is beating his chest today. Hashtag Sal's my pal. Hashtag Zay all the way. No Alberto Alberchuco. Sorry, Alberto. No Alberchuco.
I'm a little bummed.
I'm a little bummed too. Oh, actually, he did on the second,
okay.
On the follow-up.
Okay.
It's not impossible. Wow. Go back and find what worked the first time. Hashtag where's the love. Hashtag my tweets matter. Hashtag repping from El Chuco now. And the last hashtag, hashtag Alberchuco. There you go.
Wow.
This is the text truth. You have now hit the big time. Do you guys, I feel like we've hit the big time since they shouted out Minor
yes.
Talk.
Most definitely. I think so, yes.
I think we can now get a little verified badge or something like that. I don't know. 915 Sun City Caper. Bynum is Mario McKinney 2.0. Difference with Mario McKinney is he was out mid-year. And, you know, didn't rejoin the team mid-year and beyond. So that was the difference there. Mm-hmm. This is from actually, I read this one already. Let's go to a couple other tweets that happen a little later here in the program. 915-505-6009. This is, oh my goodness. This is Mr. E. Maybe Bynum was a cancer to the locker room. Looks like a different team today. UTEP is not the usual number 8 seed at the moment. Let's beat Liberty, a.k.a. UTEP. Hashtag Minor Strong. Pinky, I forgot to tell you, after the mention of Minor Talk, I got 3 texts from old U.S. Air Force friends that were stationed in Holloman Air Force Base, and I brought to Minor Games. They were asking about Minor Talk and how to listen. They got the app, and they're now listening. Thank you, Pinky. Pinky's growing the listener audience. Appreciate you. Appreciate the listening audience, too, by the way, here on the program. 915-505-6009. A couple other tweets to get to, and then let's close this one out, because we got tomorrow. We're like, we can't be like UTEP today. Give it all today and then not be ready for tomorrow, Sal.
Real quick. We also got a sponsor for Alberto's tattoo.
Somebody said they would pay for Alberto's?
So, Brian at ELP underscore Brian, I can't wait to see those tattoos if UTEP goes dancing, LOLOLOL, and then hashtags, you know, Sal is my pal, Zay all the way. Shout out to Joe Chacon for the inspo. But Pinky replied, I'll pay for Alberto's. He is smaller and thinner than the Chunkies and less ink. Cost less.
Oh, Alberto, you've not committed either way, and I'm not. There's no forcing.
I have to do it. If they go dancing, I'll go inking. I don't know. I'll
wow,
get a tattoo.
There we go.
I mean, hey, it feels miles and miles away.
What are you, a squid? You're gonna go yes. Inking?
Yeah, I'll go get
you
sit
little,
down.
You
get
little
a tattoo.
Octopus.
I'm not looking forward to it. It might even hurt.
You got to join the Navy now, Squid.
Yeah. Oh, man. Zay, how are we going to do this? Zay, you're the youngest of all of us. Are we okay with all of this?
Why does nobody want to sponsor me? I'm shorter than Alberto. I'm skinnier than Alberto. Come on, man. Am I going to have to do this myself?
Yes.
Anywhere. You guys can choose where you want to put it.
Oh, man.
You want to put it on my face, right here on my cheek?
No.
No, don't
anywhere.
Do that.
No. Anywhere. We wouldn't let that.
The further you go, the further they go.
Oh, man. Maybe we have to do this on the calf, Sal. I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to do this on the calf. We haven't really talked
calf
about this.
Tat, yep.
We're going to get, by the way, all the sponsors out there and all that, we're going to get a place, like a tattoo place, who's going to say, this is awesome. We're going to sponsor this. Like, we're going to get somebody like that, okay? And I appreciate everybody chiming in. And I appreciate people like Hunter willing to pay the flight credit for us to head out to the NCAA tournament. So, good stuff. This is from, this is from Delusional Cade McConnell fan. Sam Houston Bozos. Burners have paid the price. Hashtag Miner Talk. Felt like the burners went quiet today, Sal?
Yep. Yeah, no, there were a lot of burners out there who didn't have much to say today. Definitely did after Thursday, and you know, when you win, you win. You can do what you want. But I saw a funny meme. I can't remember who put it out, but they said, you know what, UTEP may have won, but Lamar Wilkerson got 20 plus. Player cracked 20, and then somebody replied with the meme, and they were like, it was like a frog inhaling copium.
Zay, I got to bring you in on this because the burners from Sam Houston have been loud all year, and when it matters, you know, they fell.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel bad, right? They're at least they're active on Twitter. When I joined X or Twitter, that was like 2020. I mean, there was like no Conference USA Twitter. Like the Conference USA Twitter was trash. So I'm just glad that the community is growing. And even though they're very annoying, they're pretty like bad tweets. Honestly, like they're not even funny half the time. I'm glad that they exist, and I feel bad because I mean. We've all been inhaling the copium at one point. So.
Oh, there you go. This is from UTEP Milkman here on the program on Miner Talk. Great game tonight, Miners. I think the Kool-Aid drinking will only commence after a win against Liberty tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll know if this was just a fluke. Hashtag Miner Talk, hashtag picks up. And I just want to let everybody know I'm picking Liberty tomorrow. And I don't feel good about it. No one's going to like that kind of stuff. No one's going to want to hear that stuff. But it just is what it is. And I think Sal's kind of leaning that way, too. I don't want to speak for you, Sal. But I've got the Flames tomorrow.
You know what? I'm going to make my prediction based off of history. So I'm going to go back to last year. And it's not so much that they beat them in the tournament. It's that UTEP won one, then they lost, and then they won. So it's basically a redemption factor. So going back to last year, they lost, and then... They lost and then they won. So based off of that trend and trend alone, not off of history and maybe just a little bit of sipping the Kool-Aid, no, I got Liberty too.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for
I got
that.
Scared, man. I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, I get that. I get that completely. Joe Chacon sends us a picture of his calf. that is actually tatted with the pickaxe. So we joke about it, like calf tat for this, calf tat for that, and he's got the actual calf tag.
You know what, Adrian, I got to correct myself. They lost in early February, then they won in March, and then they won in March again. But still, though, it didn't happen the way it happened last year, so I'm saved.
Okay, Joe Chacon's, one of his hashtags is hashtag Zay don't skip leg day. Okay, well, Zay's in track, so he's not skipping any leg day. He's on it. He's on it. Let's go to the phones now. George is with us, 915-505-6009. George, good evening. Hey. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Adrian? I'm here in San Antonio enjoying you guys, listening to you guys. I was back and forth on the radio and in the car and taking the wife shopping because she's here with her aunt and everything. So either way, watching the game, and one of the things that stood out to me that's been puzzling me, but I finally got it. I finally put my hand on it, my finger on it. It, you know, whether Bynum was a cancer or wasn't, I saw this team play with a joy. They played with a togetherness, and they just looked comfortable in themselves, and those three-pointers just flew, and they knew they just had that confidence that it was going to go in. And whether they win tomorrow against Liberty, which I predict they can and they will, I have a feeling this team is coming back to their own. They just have to believe in themselves and be accountable for each other and just pick each other up the same way they did today. And I think this team is going to be all right. I mean, defensively, they did what they had to do against Sam Houston. I have a feeling that pep in the step is going to carry over, and that's what you need. You need that confidence. You need that love for your teammate, and that's going to carry over. I mean, this is a good win, but I mean, let's remember that they're not done yet. They still got a couple more games to go to go to the dance. They can dance. I do not have a doubt in my mind that this team can dance. They can dance. It's just a matter of playing together and not forgetting that person next to you.
Yeah, you know who really helped with that today was David Terrell Jr. I mean, I'm the captain of the fan, or I'm not the captain, but I'm like the treasurer of the David Terrell Jr. fan club. His mom's the president, founder of the fan club, but I'm in that group. I'm a member, a treasurer, a person on the executive director board, whatever you want to say. But I'm a big fan of David Terrell Jr., George, and I think he was the one who was helped distributing a lot of those passes today. He ended up with 7 assists when it was all said and done, 3 turnovers in this game, but I thought David Terrell Jr. helped set the tone offensively to kind of make everybody play together.
Adrian, you're absolutely right. 7 assists to 3 turnovers, really good ratio, but we've seen this before from him all year, right? Him stuffing the stat sheet in that sense with the assists, the rebounds, 2 rebounds. But I just thought he was aggressive. He was getting in the paint. He was looking for his open teammates. He was creating open looks for guys like Trey Horton, right? Guys like Baylor Hebb, guys like Elijah Jones, who really feast off of those good, nice looks that he creates. But not just that, I mean, the intensity defensively, right? How many steals was he involved in? At least 3, right? He had 3 steals, but he was handsy with the ball. He was all over smothering these Sam Houston Bearcats guards, and that's where obviously Coach Golding wants to see the intensity, and it led to a lot of good looks offensively for the whole team.
Oh yeah, it did, and I'd say for him to just set the tone that way, it was a difference maker. George Galindo, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in here with us. 915-505-6009. I'm sure we're going to talk to you, George, tomorrow. That's for sure. Here on the program after whatever ends up happening. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, by the way, and then 600ESPNElPaso.com. Guys, we're winding it down. I think we got to start putting a bow on this one right here and continue here. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Guys, I think we're going to wind this one up. I appreciate everybody chiming in, listening into the program, and visiting with us at the district. We had a great crowd today at the District West. I recommend if you want to go tomorrow, it's a 4:30 tip-off. Show up, get your table, bring your friends. It'll be a lot of fun. Come hungry. Tomorrow at the District West, they do the special. I think it's the $8 cheeseburger basket with fries, and then they also do the rolled taco special on Wednesdays as well. So if you're looking looking for a spot to eat, to watch the games. $8 burgers with fries, $4 rolled tacos. I had those today, the rolled tacos. They were fantastic. They've got happy hour specials until 6 o'clock. That will be $2.75 domestics, $3.75 Wells, $4 Crown, $4 Ornitos, and that is all at the District Pub and Kitchen West. 3233 North Mesa. They'll be showing the game tomorrow. UTEP Liberty, 4:30 tip-off, and we'll have the countdown to tip-off show, by the way, at 4 o'clock. A late tweet coming in. This is from King Eric. He asks, where were the Derek Hamilton minutes? Well, I'll tell you this, my friend. They're going to split the two between Elijah Jones and Derek Hamilton. This is the first Derek Hamilton mention we got. Sal, no minutes today for Derek Hamilton off the bench, mm-hmm. but we talked about it on Saturday. We shouldn't sound surprised. We talked about them shortening the lineup. The rotation they went with was taking Ahmad Bynum out of the mix. One of us had it. One of us had it right. Not necessarily playing Ahmad Bynum in the mix. And it ends up being Baylor Hebb, Elijah Jones, Trey Horton off the bench as their eight-man rotation.
Yeah, and five guys registering 30 minutes or more. Somebody registering 40 if you round it up. And Tysh had mentioned it, Camper playing like 7 seconds less than 40 minutes. But along with that, though, Adrian, not too much foul trouble in terms of the bigs. When you look at Kalu, only 3 fouls to his credit. And guys who came in off the bench were able to stay relatively disciplined, or not relatively, really disciplined at that. So foul trouble, not too much of a thing for the Miners. They didn't have to really go too deep in the lineup. Plus, guys were playing well aside from the foul trouble.
Yeah, I'm with that. You know, I'd also say, like, the spark that Elijah Jones brought, 5 points and 9 minutes off the bench, might not need anybody else. Like, you know, might not need those Derek Hamilton minutes as you might have thought you would have. Like, I think those minutes would have just been split up between Elijah and Derek Hamilton, and instead you got the best of what Jones could offer. So I think I'm okay with it. And then tomorrow, they could throw out some new players. Like KJ Thomas could get more minutes tomorrow. You could see more minutes from guys like Derek Hamilton. So let's see if that ends up being the case tomorrow, where they're going to have to dip a little deeper into their bench. Another one, Joe Chacon. On a serious note, anyone take a breath? Every time Frazier gets the ball during the losing streak, he was so off. Threes that never fell and poor ball handling that included bad passing. Need the senior to put it together and be the leader that we know he can be. Hashtag si se puede. Yeah, he was playing a little, out of desperation, a little tight, whatever you want to say, during that 7-game losing streak. And today, finishes 33 minutes, 4 of 8 from the floor, 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. I mean, he filled the stat sheet. He did have 4 fouls in this one. Didn't play his best, but he definitely played better than he did in the 7-game losing streak right there for Otis Frazier III. So there you go right there. Guys, hot hand of the game. I'm going Corey Camper Jr. Anybody have an issue with that? Because I think you could say 15 and 15 for Kalu. You could go at the 12 points from Frazier or 12 points from Barnes. I just love the Corey Camper Jr. game. I'm giving him the hot hand of the game. What do you all think? Anybody?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. 5 for 11, 4 for 6 from three. He had 3 straight threes at one point that helped build up that minor lead. But defensively, right, I mean, they couldn't shake him. Wilkerson couldn't shake him. Boykin couldn't shake him. And he's just a force out there. It's so nice to have him and David Terrell Jr. playing at a high level against the guards.
Wow, NBA Samboy at Samville936 is listening. Said, appreciate the shout-out for the Burners. Appreciate you listening, NBA Samboy. I appreciate you in a big way. Corey Camper Jr., our hot hand of the game. This is brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Stay on schedule this season with Wind Supply El Paso. Check them out online, windsupplyelpaso.com. They are your spot to check out different dealers in town. Check out their champion dealers, their master cool dealers. On their website, click the Find a Dealer tab and check out more. It's WindSupplyElPaso.com and the Find a Dealer tab for champion dealers, master cool dealers, or even Convair dealers at WindSupplyElPaso.com. Our sponsor here of the Hot Hand of the Game. Special shout out to Jack in the Box. They bring us Minor Talk each and every edition of Minor Talk. They're open 24/7, 365 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. You can check out Jack in the Box before and after every game, your perfect spot to eat before and after after every game. Roundtable, guys, I've got the loss. Liberty tomorrow. Season closes tomorrow. All right. Anybody want to pick UTEP? Anybody want to go on a limb and pick the Miners? Because Sal and yours truly, we've been doing this for one or 2 years, or five. And I would say that I'm going Liberty. I think it's a tight, emotional game. I got the Flames pulling this one out in the end, and I think Sal's in the same boat. Anybody want to pick UTEP? Anybody here?
No.
Nope.
I want to say one thing, so I still have Liberty. But it's not far-fetched. If Kevin Kalu goes out there, drops another double-double, is efficient, even if the Miners lose, all-conference tournament worthy. I'll go that far.
Two double doubles? Is that enough?
He got snubbed of all conference. He wasn't on anything. Not an all mention. Yeah. Not on the all defense. Not on any of the first three teams. And he's been playing his best basketball out of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, rightfully so, because the sample size is not large enough. You know, just wasn't consistent enough all conference play. But these last couple weeks, I mean, despite the losses, he's been able to put together some amazing games. Just imagine that. What was that game against? Was it Middle or Western Kentucky where he went absolutely off. I think it was Middle where they wound up losing in overtime. An insane game. I mean, a game like that is not out of the realm, guys. It really isn't. Look how good Middle Tennessee is.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right, Zay, I'm going to give you a scenario because I think you're close to picking UTEP, okay?
Oh, I'm picking UTEP
now. Oh!
Whoa!
I think if one of you guys picked UTEP, I probably would have gone Liberty, but I'm not going to let the sweep happen. It's Minor Talk for a reason. I'm not going to let the sweep happen. I got UTEP. So give me the scenario, but
okay.
You know my answer.
I'm going to give you – all right, I know your answer. Scenario is David Terrell Jr. around the 10:33 mark of the game tomorrow has 12 points, and he's starting to – and he just hit two back-to-back, and he's starting to do that thing where he's got, all the confidence, and he's got more assists than he does turnovers. How does this game close out? Because I think tomorrow could be the day where the keys are given to David Terrell Jr. Like, they fully give him the keys, and the car – he didn't realize this, but the car was a Porsche. And so he's going to be – he has a lot of horsepower when he gets on the road for the first time.
Look, I'm going back to this Western Kentucky game. UTEP is getting blown out at home, and the only player that's actually trying towards the end of the first half, it's 40-18. It was 40-18, no joke. And David Terrell hit back-to-back buckets, and UTEP ended up losing this game, but they did make a bit of a comeback, and I feel like the whole time the only player that was locked in on the floor was David Terrell, and the only player that I wholeheartedly would trust giving the keys to is always going to be David Terrell. So if that's the case, I have UTEP, winning, but I don't know. It is going to be an emotional game. Both teams are going to want it, and I just, if this goes down to the final bucket, right, I don't know who they're going to give the ball to. I'd assume Corey Camper Jr. gets that final shot, but who knows?
Man, it's 2019, or no, not even. It's 2021, 2022 season all over again, right? Year one of Golding. Where
just not as fun.
Just not with that star-studded team.
That's
just not with Sule
Boone
or Jamal Bienemy or Keontae Kennedy or Verhoeven. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Tournament talk is always fun. March is here, guys. The madness is live, and that'll do it for us here on the program today, guys. I think this is a good way to wrap things up. Roundtable, we got four of us, Alberto, George, Sal, myself. We're all picking Liberty. And then Zay, he's the lone one. UTEP Zay, I should say. He is the lone one who is picking Liberty tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. We've got it for you. District West, 3233 North Mesa. Join us for the watch party if you want to hang out with us. We got stickers. We've got giveaways. Come out, join us, hang out with us, watch the game, enjoy the great $8 cheeseburger with fries or the $4 rolled tacos, all at the District West, along with happy hour till 6, 4:30 tip-off tomorrow. For Sal Montes, for George Guajardo, for Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off tonight. We'll be back in action tomorrow for another edition of Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.